to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. Chapter 58, verse 11. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Take Out Blessings on the Highway of Life. Take out blessings on the highway of life. Thus saith the Lord. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Before we look at our text, let's pray. We come to you again, Father, for this wonderful text filled with promises that we can all use. Thank you, Lord. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you'd walk amongst us, speak to every heart here. And if there is one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, we pray that today would be the day of their salvation. And we ask it all for your glory and our good, and always in no other name than the matchless name of our Savior King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord will guide you continually. I love that. And satisfy your soul in drought, parchedness, dryness, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Now, let me begin by telling you that this text is reserved for only God's people. If you're listening to this and you haven't come to know Christ as your Savior, then this verse has no application to your life whatsoever. If you're a counterfeit Christian, that is somebody who professes Christ but you don't live for Christ, this text doesn't pertain to you as well. It's only for those people who love God enough to live for Him. This text and this message is for you. And the reason why counterfeit Christians, worldlings, the irreverent, the ungodly, the reason this text isn't for them is because they are still at war with God. Understand this. When we come into this world, we're at war with God. Original sin sees to that. We have the nature to sin, and as soon as we understand God and what sin is, we're going to commit sin. And the moment we do that, we're at war with God, spiritually speaking. How do we know that's true? Matthew 12:30, Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. If you're not with Christ, or that means in Christ, if you haven't accepted Christ, if you haven't invited Christ into your life, if you haven't done any of that, then you're at war with God. It's that simple. And you don't have to be. The Bible says, repent of your sins, and all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. All you have to do is understand that God is sovereign, that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and that you need to repent. Even the Lord's Mother Mary talked about the Lord being her Savior. We all need a Savior. If you're lost, really lost. You may not think it, you may not know it, you may not even believe it, but if you're without Christ, you're as lost as you could possibly be. And this text will do no good for you. You're traveling the highway of life alone and shadowed by the devil. You can believe it or not, but that's what the Bible says. John 8:44 says, you are of your father the devil, and it's his will you want to do. That's who you're walking with. If you want to change that, if you want to know Christ, you see me or you call me, and I'll show you in his word how easy it is to just bend your knee, submit your life, humble yourself before the sovereign God, your creator. Ask him to forgive you and then repent of all the things that you can think of that you did to offend him. And then this verse will light up your life and you'll walk the highway of life with all of its takeouts. You'll walk it and he'll walk with you. See me or call me. And if you're not with Christ, let me also add to that something else to think about is that the wrath of God is on you. His blessings and his wrath can't be on you at the same time. John 3:36, he who believes in me, and make for the counterfeit Christians that are listening, believing in Christ is more than just saying, I know who he is, I know his mom, I know his life, I know he's God. It's more than that. It's living for Him, having a Christocentric life. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. This is God saying it. This isn't Brian saying it. This is God telling you that. And those who have the wrath of God on them certainly won't receive his blessings. They can't. Now listen, Paul explained this to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2:12. Before they were saved, he said, you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That perfectly sums up the estate of all lost souls. And most lost souls don't realize it until they come to Christ. They don't even know they're lost. They don't think they're lost. But for God's elect, for those of us who have submitted our lives to God, our text gives us a wonderful, God has painted a wonderful picture of how he will get us through the highway of life. Listen, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. The end part of that text, for somebody in Asia Minor, that was paradise, a garden with water that never fails. That's the picture God paints for his people. But before we look at that text, I want you to note that there is a condition that must be met before God will bless his people. You're not saved by anything you do. That's completely of God. But once you're saved, you want those blessings, there's something you have to do. The condition is this. You must submit and obey to God's will. You have to do that. You have to get rid of all known sin that's in your life. The stuff that you know about. You have to just repent of it. Which means you must be walking the highway of life with him and not with your flesh, not with the world, just you and God walking through this life. Doesn't mean you can't have friends, you can't do it. I'm simply saying spiritually, you need only him. The same Lord who said, he will call upon me and I will answer him, Psalm 91:15. It's the same Lord and God who declared, if I regard iniquity in my heart, wink, the Lord will not hear. Psalm 66:18. There's a condition to blessings. Obedience is that condition. God's blessings are always framed around our obedience to him as his children. And I want to tell you something. There's nothing different between that and raising your own children. The blessings you would give your children were all framed around their obedience to you. Or at least it should have been. And you know what? If we see that principle at work in the two verses preceding our text. Open up your Bible to that text if you're not there. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, God told his people to remove the yoke of oppression from amongst them. They were to stop accusing each other, pointing their fingers at each other, and stop speaking evil about each other. That offended God. And it still does offend God when we do that. Then in verse 10, he commanded them to do what? To reach out to the hungry and comfort the afflicted. He still wants us to do that as well. Those verses demonstrate that God's people must humble themselves to the spirit of righteousness, because that's what he's talking about, before God will bless them. And that same principle is seen in the New Testament, John 9:31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, what? He hears them. You can't go to God with sin in your heart, the holy, righteous God. You can't do that. The Bible makes it clear. Our enjoyment of God is directly dependent on our obedience to him. And why should it be any other way? Why? We have children that run crazy, and we don't bring them under control. That's the modern day. The modern day children are out of control. I'm not going to get into that, but they are. This generation X, Z, Y, whatever they call it, it's out of control. Why? There's no discipline. Everything is okay. Do it if you want. And if that's the case, then they're out of control. There's no respect. There's no love. There's no submission to parents. None. And they shouldn't expect any because they don't put their children under the yoke, if you will, to be obedient. James 1:25 backs that up. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You just can't come to church and hear stuff at Bible study or hear a message up here. You can't do that and then go home and forget about everything you heard and learned. You have to apply it. That's the whole point of coming here. Save your gas money if you're not going to do that. What's the point? And all of you here probably know all of this, but I'm here to tell you this morning there are many, many believers who deceive themselves by thinking God will bless them even though they have unrepented sins in their heart. Think about this. How many of you have negativity? I keep bringing that up because it is a mother sin. The Holy Spirit puts it on my heart. I talk to people all the time, and I cannot believe how the first thing out of somebody's mouth, even a believer, is something not positive. It's negative. That's a sin. You can't do that. You can't keep that in your heart and then pray and expect your prayers to get over the ceiling lights. It's not going to happen. Looking back, how many of us do that? How many of us are still looking back after years and years of looking back? You'd think you'd have it straightened out by now. It doesn't do any good to do that. Or how many of us think about future events that may or may not happen? The sin of presumption. Those are sins that believers commit, and it's in their heart, and they have to repent of it. You just can't let it. God, listen, there's no slide for sins. God doesn't let any sin slide. Everyone is accounted for, and everyone has to be repented of. And until you do that, then the blessings that you have are really constrained. They're constrained. Jeremiah 5:25 backs up everything I just said. It keeps our sins keep God's blessings from us. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. Think about that. Think about the things that you haven't given up that you should be giving up. Think about the value of that in your life. Think about what value that brings you, and then think about the value of being blessed by God. My point is, don't expect God to bless you as you travel the highway of life carrying a suitcase of sins. He ain't going to do it. And that is a good takeout thought to remember on the highway of life. Take it out. Take it with you when you leave here today. God will not bless you as you travel the highway of life with Him if you're carrying a suitcase of sins. That's takeout. Now let's open up our text and see what God will do for us. The verse begins with a wonderful promise. I love this promise. The Lord will guide you continually. I love that word. Continually, June. That means He's never going to stop. I love it. The verse begins with that. Beloved, if life is nothing else, it is a highway, isn't it? Isn't life a highway and doesn't have a lot of intersections? Every day you get up, you get on that highway of life, and you're going to choose a direction to go. So what a blessing it is to know that the one who built the highway of life is the one who's going to guide you through it. He knows where all the potholes are. He knows where all the detours are. He knows where everything is on that highway, and He's guiding you through it. He will guide you continually at every turn. Boy, that's another takeout. Take that home too. We're blessed in knowing that the sovereign God, we should be so blessed in understanding that the sovereign God is guiding us through every curve and detour. Psalm 37, 23, 34. I love backup verses because it's you know online, this is God speaking. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, Vinny. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Do you get that? The steps of a good man, the steps of a righteous man, the steps of a righteous woman are ordered by the Lord. That's a takeout too. You take that one home too. Psalm 37, 23, 24. And the sovereign I am, Yahweh, guides you in the right direction with his providential hand. You're never going to go in the wrong direction if God's guiding you. And his providential hand guides you. Isaiah 48, 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and lead you by the way you should go. Do you believe that? Do you believe God is leading you the way you should go? Are you holding on to his hand on the highway of life, and are you walking with him? Or are you struggling with him? God's not going to let go of you. He paid too much for you. He gave his son. So he's going to hold on to your hand. But are you walking like this? Are you just trying to pull him? Or are you saying, Lord, have your own way. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven, not just on this earth. Make it personal. Your will be done in my life, and help me accept that. Take my hand and never let it go. And when I pull away, give me a cuff on the back of the head, spiritually speaking, to remind me who I belong to. I don't belong to myself. I belong to you. And you lead me. I don't want to lead myself anymore. I'm tired of it. And when the flesh wants me to do it, put something in my life to change that so that I never let go of your hand. We're blessed in knowing the sovereign God is guiding us. Also, he guides you in the right direction. And we should grab hold right now of that single word in our text. One word, continually. Continually. Never letting go. He's never going to let you go. Ever let you go. You cost him his son, and the horrible price that he had to pay. You ain't going nowhere, brother or sister. And I know you don't want to go. Once in a while, you want to take a vacation from him, but he ain't going to let that happen either. It means God's eyes are on you every moment of your life. That's what that word continually means. His eyes are always on you. I have a verse for that, Psalm 32:8. David brings that out. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And he's doing that continually, never stopping. Now, that all being said, how does it make you feel, Christian? Believer, how does it make you feel knowing guides are continually on you? How does it make you feel? Good. Good. And everything you do, he sees. Everything you think, he knows. He sees. He understands. Everything you do, see, feel, think, everything. To the very core of your being, he knows. If God's eyes are on you, and listen, if his eyes are on you, and they are, and that makes you feel uncomfortable, guess what? You better find out why. There's a reason. Find out why you feel uncomfortable. The most common reason why you feel this way is because of unrepented sin. I know I'm doing something, I'm not breaking the habit, and I know it offends you, but I'm working on it. No, you're not. You say you're working on it, but no, you're not. If you can do all things through Christ, then you're not working on it, because if you were working on it, it would be done. Period. New thought. That's hard stuff. That's hard stuff for anybody to hear that doesn't want to give up sin. Hard. But it's even harder to walk this highway of life, holding God's hand and knowing that there's sin in your heart. It's even harder to do that. And you know why? Because the Spirit, you quench the Spirit. If you have unrepented sin in your life, you quench the Spirit. And when you quench the Spirit, it's replaced by the Spirit of conviction. You stay convicted. You know it's there. It's always in the back of your mind. You know who you belong to. You know you're going to heaven. You know you've offended him. And yet you won't get rid of it. And because you won't get rid of it, you're never going to find peace. You're never going to find joy. And the blessings you get, table scraps. That's all they are. So you have to make up your mind. I'm holding his hand. I'm his daughter. I'm his son. I'm walking with him. I'm going to give him everything because he gave me everything. There's not one thing I have that I didn't get from God. There's not one thing you have that you didn't get from God, including your breath, your life, everything. And so because of that, I want to give him everything I have. It's an equal trade. Actually, it's not. He gets less than we got. He gets less than we got. So how can we hold on to unrepented sin? How can we do that? We can't. And if we do it for too long, and he doesn't take us to the woodshed, you better start reading 1 John. All 5 chapters, read it until you realize, you examine yourself and say, hey, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I need to repent of my sins and ask the Savior to save me because I'm not living like a Christian. Very important. Also note, there's never a moment when our Lord isn't protecting you and guiding you. The Lord in Psalm 121:8 says, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He's not just guiding you here. This is the highway of human life. When you transfer from this world to the eternal realm, he's going to guide you up there. Now you're on Main Street in heaven. There's only one street in heaven, Main Street. And we all live on the same street. And he'll guide you up there too. He'll guide you into pleasures forevermore, Psalm 16:11. He'll guide you into truths and understandings you can't understand now. And throughout all eternity, you'll worship him and he'll guide you even in that. He's never going to stop. That's wonderful. Just think back to your unsaved life. Who was guiding you then? And how did that work out? Every single second of your life, every second of your life is under the protection and the guidance of the sovereign King, the Creator. Proof verse, Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob. I love that. That'll get your attention. And all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth. I want to stop there for a second. You know, it's Hebrews, I think it's 1:14 that says, talking about angels, are they not ministering spirits to those, to the heirs of salvation in the future tense? Before I was, he knit me in my mother's womb. I was called before the worlds were formed. He knit me in my mother's womb. And from the day I came out, I've been under his protection and guidance so that I could get saved because I'm one of his elect. He did the same thing with you. Israel, who have been upheld by me, God, from birth, who have been carried from the womb. And your mama was carrying you. He was carrying your mama. And then he says, even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and deliver you. Wow. How's that for a rest area on the highway of life? Just stop there and take Isaiah 46, 3 and 4 and run that through your brain a couple of 4 times. And since God loves us so much, guess what? We can count on him. You can count on God to guide us or to guide you when we walk and either the bitter or the sweet avenues of life. And there are two avenues, bitter or sweet. That's it. And we can count on him to guide us in either avenue. The sovereign Lord delivers his people from the dangers of the highway of life. And you know what? A good example is our highways today. I don't think I've ever seen so much danger in my life as cars. They're nuts. I mean, and you would think they're all lost, they're all at war with God, that they would slow down. If I knew what I knew now and I was in a highway, I'd be driving at 15 miles an hour if I didn't know Christ. He delivers us from the dangers. Isaiah 43:1-3. Fear not. I love that. Don't worry about it. Fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you. Here we go. I have called you by your name, Jerry. You're mine. You're his. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they're not going to overflow you. You're not going to drown in your problems. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. There's another takeout. Take that out of the Bible and put that in your heart. Isaiah 43:1-3. You too, Tom and Doreen, put these verses in your heart, and whoever else is listening. Put it on the seat. And it gets better, regardless of the avenue you're walking on, whether it's bitter or sweet. God's promise to us, and this is incredible, everything will always work out for our good, without exception. It doesn't matter what it is. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for God, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You can't make a bad mistake. You may make a mistake and you may bleed for it. You may cry over it. You may even die over it. But it's all going to work out for your good. Because he's holding your hand on the highway of this life. All he wants you to do is say, come on, hold on. Give it up. I'll take care of you. How hard is that? Why do you think he calls us children? I've seen so many, I look for children interacting with adults, and how many times have you and I seen a little child this big reach up when they come to something they're not sure about, like a road, or if there's somebody coming up the driveway, they'll snuggle over to mom or dad like this, and they'll take their hand, and they'll get right next to their leg, and they feel secure. That's what he wants us to do. Because in this life, we are children. In this life, we are vulnerable. And in this life, we need a protector. We need somebody with wisdom. We need somebody with sovereign strength to deliver us, because it's for sure we can't do it ourselves. We can't. The next blessing in this memo is satisfy your soul in drought. The word drought means parchedness. But let me just say this. People have been trying to satisfy their souls with everything under the sun. I tried it. Don't you do that before you were saved? Well, that didn't work. Let me try this. Well, that was a little expensive and it didn't work. How about this? We're never satisfied. The unsaved are never satisfied. But God says, I'll satisfy your soul. You see, this, and the reason people are never satisfied is because the soul is like the grave. It is never satisfied. The grave is never satisfied. You can own the world, and that won't be enough. We have a biblical example of two people who owned the world. They owned everything in this world but one tree. You imagine that? Name the animals, they're yours. Name the fruit, they're yours. Everything is yours. Just stay away from that tree. One tree. They had everything in the world but that one tree, but it wasn't enough. They wanted more. They wanted to be gods. And that's still going on today. It's still going on today. People want to be gods. Why? Because they reject the true God. The evangelical church today doesn't know the God of this Bible. They know the God of their imagination. That's it. They still want to be gods. But the promise to God's elect is that God will satisfy your soul. And he did that. How did he do that? He did that by sacrificing Jesus Christ for your sins. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's satisfaction. Why? Because you were dead, and he made you alive. Because now you have hope. Now you have a purpose in your life. Now you have a reason to live for tomorrow. Because you're not living for yourself, or you're not living for the flesh, you're living for Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ washed away the blight of sin, which makes the soul thirsty and hungry. That's what sin does. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I've never been hungry or thirsty since I came to Christ. I've been more satisfied in the last 25 years than I have in all 75 combined, well, 50 combined. Why? Because I found what I needed, not what I wanted. I found Christ. I found a life that brings me peace. I find the joy that I have to surrender. It doesn't come and go according to my conditions. That's what satisfies your soul, having these wonderful things. Now, this may sound strange to you, but all we have to do to be satisfied with God is to be satisfied with his love and care of us. You're not going to take care of yourself as good as he is. I'm saying you got to take care of yourself to a point, but let him hold your hand and guide you. You'll be satisfied knowing that the Holy Spirit is traveling the highway of life with you, showing you detours, which way to go. You'll be satisfied by obeying and submitting to God. When you obey and you submit your life to God, guess what? There's no chance, luck, or coincidence. You know why things are happening. You understand them. In summary, we just need to be satisfied with traveling with God on the highway of life. You have to be satisfied holding his hand. And what could be more satisfying than everything I just told you? By holding his hand, what could be more satisfying? Nothing. You know why? Where's this highway of life going? Are we not all on our way to the eternal home that Jesus went to prepare for us? Are we not all traveling on that road? So shouldn't we be satisfied with God now and all the things that he puts in our life now rather than saying, well, that's okay, I'll do it, but, you know, I'm still working on that. I'll get rid of that tomorrow. You don't know when you're going to enter that kingdom. It could be before you get into the parking lot of this church. You need to understand this. It's so important as believers. You need to understand that the moment you take your last breath here and you inhale the glory of heaven, in that instant, all the things that you've done here are finished. Your relationship with God that you had here is with you. That's it. And you're going to stand before him with that relationship. That's another takeout you should bring and put in your car, in the back seat of your car, and think about it on the way home. Being satisfied with God, you know what that means? That means I'm content with my life. I'm content with everything that happens to me on this highway of life. I don't care what it is. I'm content with it. Doesn't mean I like it, but I'm content with it. That's why God tells us in Hebrews 13:5-6, be content with such things as you have. I got to tell you something. There's not a Christian listening to this that isn't guilty of malcontent in something or other. Stop it. Stop it. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. If he's helping you, why are you malcontent about anything? Because you don't like it? That's too bad. Really, your bias is irrelevant. Regardless of the circumstances that are in your life, I don't care what they are, you should always be content as you travel the highway of life. You know why? Because we belong to the Lord, everything is going to work out okay. Listen what Habakkuk 3:17 and 18 says. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit. Turn there with me. This is a good passage. Habakkuk 3:17-18. Old Testament. And I forget what it's next to. You'll find it. Habakkuk 3:17-18. I want to read this together with you. Maybe it will help quell some of our discontent. Here it goes. Habakkuk 3:17-18. Though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, there it comes, yet I will exalt the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. That's a lesson for all of us. No matter what's going on in your life, exalt yourself and rejoice in the God of your salvation. And before I leave the subject of satisfaction, let me ask you. I talked to you about being satisfied with God. Do you think God is satisfied with your walk with Him? How about that? You think He's satisfied with the way you're walking with Him? Is He satisfied with the way you're handling your time, your sin, the way you're handling your flesh? You think He's satisfied with that? He's continually with you, so He knows the answer to those questions as well as you do. You know it. And that's just another takeout thing I'd like you to take home and think about. Is God satisfied with my walk on Highway's life with Him? The next blessing in our memo is strengthen the bones. I'm almost done. The idea here is to show, because God is continually with you and He is satisfying your soul, He's telling us that, and then He's saying that your bones will be refreshed. Your bones will be strengthened. Proverbs 3:7-8. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it will be health to your flesh and what? Strength to your bones. That's the key. You know, when you get older, you're supposed to eat certain foods to help because you lose bone density. You can break bones a little easier. Well, in the spiritual realm, you don't have to eat anything. What you have to do is you have to live something. You have to live biblically. You have to fear God, a reverential fear of God. You're in charge. I'm going. I'll give it up. Let's go. You lead the way. I'll follow. That's how you have strong spiritual bones. Bones that don't break under the stress of pain, under the stress of adversity, under the stress of doubt. They don't break because He strengthened them. Without the weight of sin, the burden in this life is light. Jesus teaches us that in Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You understand that? Do you remember being unsaved? You remember the burden of life when you were walking down the highway of life with the shadow of the devil following you and the flesh leading you? Do you remember how it felt? The burden of everything that happened, looking in the mailbox, wondering what the next bill was going to be, wondering what the next problem was going to be, going to somebody's house and seeing all the things that you didn't like. It pressed you down. Why do you think our world is so messed up? There's no forgiveness in the world. It's a weight, a spiritual weight that weighs people down. You don't have that with Christ. You come to Him and He'll remove that heavy burden. And the result of being in Christ is that your bones as His disciple are strengthened. They're strengthened and they're made fat. You know why? Because they're filled with the marrow of salvation. They're filled with it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the strength of Christ. That's why there's no such thing really as a weak Christian. There's a nominal Christian. But how can you be weak if you have Christ and you have his strength running through your bones? And because strong bones, and because we have strong bones, we can grow. And in growing, we grow in grace, we grow in trust, we grow in joy. And our text ends with the promise, you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. God never fails you. He never will fail you. You failed you. You failed yourself. You failed God. But he's never failed. He's never failed you. This promise is a beautiful image of paradise. In Asia, that kind of a garden was considered paradise because of their lack of water. And it symbolized a continued prosperity and blessedness. The psalmist uses the same analogy in Psalm 1:3, talking about those who delight in the law of the Lord. He writes, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Is that you? Are you like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season? You should be. God planted you by that river. That river's there to give you sustenance. He's there to help you bear fruit for him. Jesus said, I've come that you may bear fruit, much fruit for the Father. And he's given you all the water you need to do it. That's another takeout to take home. I'm planted by the rivers of living water. And I have the power. All I have to do is be willing to give up everything I have for God. Everything. And in doing that, you're really obeying the first commandment, aren't you? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and being, everything. In closing, I want to give you one last takeout to bring home. The highway is a journey to glory. So make the trip pleasant, make the trip profitable, and make the trip purposeful. And you do that by keeping your eyes on the cross, your hands on the Bible, and your feet in the middle of that narrow path. I leave you with the words of Paul in Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Beloved, you have everything you need in this world and the next world to come. All that you have to do is turn it on. Claim the power, change your life, upgrade your Christian life to something more than what it is by just holding his hand and asking him to help you do those things that you struggle with now. Give them up. Give them up. Let's pray. Father, one of the things that we do is that we don't give things up. There's things that we do in our life that we've become so accustomed to doing that we love to do. Lord, would you teach us to love you more than anything in this world? Would you hold our hand, Lord, and would your grace and power reach through your hand and into our hand and give us the strength we need to give up everything that keeps us from walking with you and get rid of everything that keeps us from you. Help us to organize our life that way, that we might walk the highway of life and take out all the things in our life that keeps us from you and put in all the things in our life that glorifies you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Closing hymn is 374. We sang this a couple weeks ago.